loves me. Oh, yes, Jesus loves me. Oh, yes, Jesus, He loves me. For the Bible tells, oh, yes, oh, yes, my Jesus loves me. Oh, yes, Jesus loves me. Oh, yes, Jesus loves me. For the Bible. Come on, let's sing it one more time together. Every hand raised, every eye closed. Come on, let's sing to Jesus. Yes, Jesus, He loves me. Oh, yes, Jesus loves me. He is jealous for me. He loves like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of His wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions, eclipsed by glory, I realize just how beautiful You are and how great Your affections are for me. every one of you are sons and daughters. Come on, sing, He loves us. Oh, how. Oh, how. Come on, one more time. Come on, help me sing it one more time. He does. Oh, yes, He does. He loves. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He loves you, boy. Brothers and sisters, He loves you. Amen. He gave His all that we all might live. He gave His all that we all might spend eternity with Him. Amen. He came down and paid a price that none of us could pay, that He might redeem us back to Himself. Amen. Praise the Lord. Our God is good. Don't you love Him this morning? Amen. 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 You ought to tell Him hallelujah. Amen. You ought to praise Him this morning. Hallelujah is the highest praise. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Brother Kwaku, how would you say hallelujah back in Ghana? Hallelujah. Brother Osue, how would you say hallelujah in Spanish?
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Where's Sister Naomi at? How she say it in Afrikaans? Brother Simba, how would you say hallelujah in Zimbabwe? Brother Jeffrey, how would you say hallelujah in Creole?
Amen. Glory to God.
Amen.
How would we all say hallelujah in English?
Hallelujah.
Amen. How would the Christians say hallelujah? You ought to give God your highest praise. Come on, let's give our God a hand clap of praise this morning. Amen. You should have a hallelujah burning up in your soul. Come on, let's sing it one more time. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's bow our heads. Almighty God, Father, we thank You so much, Lord, that You have showered us with Your love, Father God. Lord, we wouldn't be here this morning, Lord, had You not showered us with Your love. Father, we would be out in the world doing whatever, worshiping You in vain, Lord. But You came in this hour and brought a divine message to us, Lord God, to wash our eyes with our salve, Lord, to cleanse us in Your blood, Lord God, that we might stand perfect in Your sight this morning, Father God. And we can come before You, Lord, singing praises to You, Lord God, because we know that You love us. Father God, I pray, oh God, for this congregation of Your children, Lord. Father, as You come through, Lord, discerning the thoughts and intents of the hearts, Lord God, may You speak to each and every need, Lord. May You meet every need that Your children have, Father. Father, we pray, oh God, for Brother Paul this morning, Lord, as he has prepared his heart to bring a message to Your children, Lord. Anoint him afresh, Father God. Stimulate his soul, Lord Jesus. May the word that's in his heart burn, Lord God. May it come forth from his lips into hearing ears and receiving hearts, Lord God, that it may be manifested in Your children. Father, we love You this morning, Lord God, and ask that You would have Your way in this service. It's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's turn in our Bibles to Psalms 128. praise the Lord. Psalms 128 reads, "Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children, and peace upon Israel." Praise the Lord. You've done so much for me, I cannot tell it all. If I had 10,000 tongues, it still wouldn't be enough. Chuku nakwama rele. When you heal completely. Chuku marobi mo. Shall I render to Jehovah? He has done so very much for me. What shall I render? Come on, to Jehovah. For he has done. For me, I cannot tell it all. Oh, if I had 10,000 tongues, it still wouldn't be enough. Chuku nakwama rele. When you heal completely. Robimo, easy can delay. We say, what shall I render to Jehovah? For he has done so very much for me. Come on, what shall I render to Jehovah? For he has done so very much. Nada, nada. Shall I render to Jehovah? For he has done so very much for me.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Jehovah, you are the Most High. Say you are the Most High, Jehovah. High. Oh, you are the Most High, Jehovah. Hallelujah. Say you are the Most High God, Jehovah. Oh, you are the Most High God, Jehovah. Hey, Jehovah. Jehovah. Hey, hey, Jehovah. Jehovah, Jehovah, oh, Jehovah, 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 you are the Most High. Say you are the Most High God, Jehovah, yeah. Jehovah, Jehovah, yeah. Oh, Jehovah, Jehovah, you are the Most High. Help me sing it, saints. You are the Most High God, Jehovah. You are the Most High. Say you are the Most High God, Jehovah. Hey. Jehovah. Jehovah. Hey. Oh, Jehovah. Jehovah, eh? Jehovah, Jehovah, eh? Jehovah, Jehovah, you are the Most High. Say you are the Most High God, Jehovah. Oh, you are the Most High God, Jehovah. You are the Most High. Oh, you are the Most High God, Jehovah. You are the Most High. Say you are the Most High God, Jehovah. Hey, Jehovah. Jehovah, Jehovah, hey. Jehovah, Jehovah, hey. Jehovah, Jehovah, ah, Jehovah, hey, Jehovah, oh, Jehovah, hey, Jehovah, you are the reason I am living. up this morning, started me on my way. You are the reason. You woke me up this morning, started me on my way. Jehovah, hey. Jehovah, hey. Jehovah, come on one more time. Jehovah, hey. Oh, Jehovah, hey. Jehovah, hey.
Praise the Lord, He is our everything. Amen. You all may have your seats. Sister Bernice, God bless you. Will you come this morning?
Because of who you are, I give you glory.
Amen.
Because of who you are, I give you praise. Because of who you are, I will lift my voice and sing. Lord, I worship you. Because of who you are, Lord, I worship you. Because of who you are, because of who you are, I give you glory. Because of who you are, I give you praise. Lord, you reign in victory, Jehovah.
Somebody ought to tell God thank you. Thank him for who he is to you this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. Is he your redeemer? Is he your savior? Is he your life giver? Amen. You have breath in your body. Take a breath this morning. Hallelujah. He's your creator. Oh, praise the Lord. My God, my God, my God, my God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, all his people. Praise the Lord for his goodness and grace. Praise the Lord for who he is. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Amen. You can have your seats. Amen. We got a few announcements we'd like to make this morning. Praise the Lord. First of all, we'd like to welcome our guest. Amen. The LaFontaine family. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We've been expecting it. Praise the Lord. And Sister Tiffany Caldwell, Sister Tiffany Wright, and Sister Zabitha Crafton. Amen. And Sister Zabitha has a birthday tomorrow. So praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. They were invited here by Brother Kwaku. Amen. It's good to have you all in the house of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. We would like to wish Sister Tanya a happy birthday today. God bless you. Happy birthday, Sister Tanya. Amen. 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 We have Wednesday night service here at 7:30 p.m. We will continue to stream live on Periscope until the end of the month. Also on Facebook, our handle on Periscope is SAT_Tabernacle. On Facebook, you can find us at SAT Tabernacle, or you can go to the website, spiritandtruthtabernacle.org, and on the right-hand side, there's a live stream button. You can enter into the live stream there. Our corporate fast comes to an end today. That don't mean you have to stop fasting. If you desire to keep pressing the battle, keep pressing the battle, keep drawing closer to the Lord. Amen. But as a church, our corporate fast ends today. God bless you for putting your shoulders to the plow and doing it all together, saints. Amen. We have a tarry service Tuesday, the 30th at 7:30 p.m. And that's for the gifted saints. Anyone that has a gift of the Lord, we're going to come here and we're going to wait on the Lord. Amen. So everyone prepare for that. And if you don't feel like you're gifted, pray for that service. Amen. We all need all the prayers we can get. Our upcoming meetings, Eagles Temple in Miami, March 19th through March 21st, will be Saturday, 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. and Sunday, 10 a.m. Amen. As far as our giving, amen, we can... you can give online, spiritandtruthtabernacle.org. We have two ways of giving there, PayPal and Cash App. When using PayPal, choose donating to a friend, transfer or donating to a friend when donating. I got that all messed up, not reading. When donating, please choose the option to transfer or send to a friend. This will minimize or eliminate any PayPal fees. You can use the email address given at john423.org. On Cash App, our handle is $SpiritAndTruthT. And anyone that desires to give by mail, the address is here at the bottom. Amen. And everybody in the sanctuary, there's a wooden box just on the other side of this wall. As you're leaving, you can drop your tithing offering in there. Amen. Let's bow our hearts, pray over our giving. Almighty God, Father, we bow our hearts humbly before you, Lord God, recognizing, Lord, as we have come together, that there are needs amongst your people, Father God. No one wrote down any requests, but no doubt we all have loved ones upon our hearts. We have physical needs, spiritual needs, domestic needs, financial needs. Lord, you know all about it. So we're committing those things into your hands and asking, oh God, that you'll meet the need. And Father, as for our giving, Lord, you have blessed your people, Lord God. And Father, I pray, Lord, as we return to you this little portion of our worship, Lord, that you will receive it, Lord, for we give it with thanksgiving. And Father, you said you will pour out a blessing, Lord, that we wouldn't have room enough to contain it, Father God. Father, we know your word is true. You also said you would rebuke the devourer for our sake, Lord God, and we believe that also. That's your word, Lord. It cannot fail. So we're trusting you, Lord, in our spiritual life. We're trusting you in our family life. We're trusting you in our finances, Lord. We're trusting you in everything that we put our hands to, Father, for we do it as unto you. We love you, Father. Ask your blessings now upon this service. Be with our pastor and Brother Willie where they are. May they be a blessing to your children, Lord God, and the saints all over this world. Again, bless Brother Paul as he prepares to bring your divine word to your people. It's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Will y'all stand to your feet? Amen, Brother Paul. Will you and your family come this morning? Praise Lord. God bless you, saints.
Test. Praise the Lord. Well, I feel the presence of the Lord here this morning. We're already having church. Praise the Lord. We greet you in the precious name of Jesus Christ. And you may be seated just a minute. We just greet you and get warmed up just a little bit. But it is a privilege to be able to fill in for our pastor this morning. He's away and just worked out good that way. So it's a real honor to stand in his pulpit and to be able to fill his shoes. I'll never fill his shoes, but it's an honor to do it this morning. It's an honor to speak to you. Just catching just on a little vacation here. We planned to come down in February and got COVID in February. When I was here in December, your pastor got it, and then I got it. I had to cancel the vacation, so we just now come back down for that week that we had planned in February. So it just worked out to be in fellowship with you, and we're just appreciate what the Lord is doing here. We always hear good things from this church in West Palm, always hearing good things. And every once in a while, my wife puts up the Facebook of your services, and I don't have Facebook, but she puts it up, and she said, boy, they're having church down there. I said, I wish I was down there. So what a blessing it is, and we feel very much a part of your assembly here. We're praying with you and the pastor, and often he shares the need for another place to worship. And I know in time, God will open up the doors. We've helped give a little bit towards it as well. We want to support that, not only with our prayers, but with our giving. So we have already given. We will give more because we believe that this is a good work going on here. We believe it's going to grow. We believe that you need space, a little bit more space. And the need has been for a long time. And so we're not going to back down. We believe that God's going to open up the doors and give you a place. Yes. And when he does it, he'll do it in a big way. Because I have seen it over and over again. And so we appreciate you. I have some of my family with us. Actually, most all the girls. I have my two daughters. And Gabriella, my youngest daughter, her friend Hannah is with us. Hannah Challenger is with us. And this is their 18th Well, it's not their 18th birthday. It's their graduation trip that I paid for to come to Florida. So they're both 18. Stand up, Gabby and Hannah. They don't want to stand up. They're refusing to stand up. They're on vacation. They don't have to stand. And then my daughter, Amariah, and my wife is with us. So I'm outnumbered here. It's just one guy and all the girls. But it's a privilege. And Amariah has my first grandchild, my granddaughter, with us as well. And that's been a real joy to us to have her. Yes. Such a blessing to have them down. And I've mostly been, it's not been a vacation for me. I've been babysitting most of the week while Amariah enjoys the trip. But that's good. We all, grandparents here, we enjoy it. It's great. Sister Erica's, amen. They say that, grandchildren are the reward for not killing your own kids. That's what they say. It's a lot of truth to that right there.
Praise the Lord.
Oh my. Praise the Lord. I'm going to have them come. Hannah, if you want to get that baby, I'm going to have my two daughters and my wife come. And we did something just recently. I gave one of these to Brother Duff. We had some good fellowship with him and his wife Tuesday night. And I've always wanted to do a CD with just my kids. All their lives, and just my wife and my kids. And so we just finished this last year, and it was such a blessing to be able to get it done. I should have done it when they were kids. Now they're all grown, and my youngest is 18. It took me that long to get to this. And my boys are about ready to finish college and go off, and Rye is married. And so, but we finally got it done last year. I have a few copies with me. So there's a song on here that the girls sing that I wrote, and I thought I would try it this morning. We've never done it yet in public, but it's a song about you sisters. It's out of Isaiah 4, the beautiful branch of the Lord. And I'm not much of a guitar player, but I'm going to try to play that this morning a little bit. It'll be a little different than what you're used to here. We love your all's music. This will be a little different. Come, girls, and get ready. But this one is one off the CD called Beautiful Branch of the Lord. I'll do a little job here of trying to play the guitar for it, but it's mostly the words I think that you enjoy.
There will be seven women take hold of one man. They will do their own thing, they will have their own plan. And yet in that day there'll be women set free, truly expressing what they're meant to be. Beautiful branch of the Lord, women of God who the Savior adores. Wonderful, glorious fruit of His holiness, beautiful branch of the Lord. I will honor my father, stay under his wing. I will serve my dear husband as unto the King. And my labors to rise up and care for my own will be blessed and rewarded someday at His throne.
Beautiful branch of the Lord, women of God who the Savior adores. Wonderful, glorious fruit of His holiness, beautiful branch of the Lord.
At the end, when it seems there's no pureness in sight, when the church as a whole seeks the pleasures of night, Christ will wash by His word His elected by grace. Not one spot, not one wrinkle, His light in her face.
Beautiful branch of the Lord, women of God who the Savior adores. Wonderful, glorious fruit. beautiful branch of the Lord. Beautiful branch of the Lord. This bride of Christ to the Savior adores. Wonderful, glorious fruit of His holiness. Beautiful branch of the Lord. Beautiful branch of the Lord.
It's way too tight in here for me. Little girls. That's another reason I'm praying for a big church for space behind the piano and everywhere in the platform. Praise the Lord. Isn't that true? How many appreciate our sisters, our women that hold up the standards in the last hour? Amen. You're the sisters. There's not enough praise that goes towards the sisters that are holding up. The Bible calls you the beautiful branch of the Lord in the end time. Not just the bride, but these sisters that are holding that up, and you're to be praised for it. A woman that feareth the Lord shall be praised. And they're not praised enough, and I like to do that. I appreciate them so much, and the Lord gave me that song. We were just finishing up the album, and we had a couple more songs to write to finish it off, and I had that in my heart. I just needed to get it written, and glad I finished it up. Praise the Lord. Sing this one with me, but I think I can only get one out of them this morning, so I sing this one by myself. We should treat one another with the utmost respect, understand and be kind, with great love to project. If we really saw each other through God's eyes, there's a royal blood we all would recognize. We are a family born of royalty, His sons and His daughters, children of the King. The character of His kingdom and His glory be revealed in you and me. We are a family. We are born of royalty. When we become way too common, forgetting who we are, we can take ones for granted who are special to God's heart. The way I treat my brother, I treat Christ. For these He went and paid the highest price. Family. stands before the throne, when he proudly smiles and says, well done to the ones he calls his own. All our crowns will just lay down and start to worship our great King. Oh, for there's only one thing left to humbly say. His family, born of royalty, his sons and his daughters, children of the King. Let the character of his kingdom and his glory be revealed in you and me. Oh, we are his family. If you learn the chorus with me, we are a family born of royalty, his sons and daughters, his sons and his daughters, children of the King, children of the King. Let the character of his kingdom, let the character of his King and his glory be revealed, and his glory be revealed in you and me. Blessed be his name. Amen. 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 Let's turn in our Bibles this morning together. I wanted to sing that because it goes a little bit with what we want to share with you this morning in the Word. And once again, we appreciate the privilege and the time together that we have a couple times a year. Sometimes we come down maybe once a year, but it's a real privilege to be able to walk with you. And I stand amongst royalty here this morning. I believe that with all my heart. It won't be difficult to preach because we are hungry people. Amen. And we're hungry for one thing. That's the open word of God. Amen. Amen. We have that in common. Praise the Lord. Pray God blesses the pastor while he's away from us and blesses his preaching today, his ministry to there in, Columbia. I think he's this morning. So we pray God will just be with him. Amen. I'm going to read from a couple places, one in the Old Testament, one in the New. And I just want you to turn, if you would, to Nehemiah chapter 10. And there's so many different things that the Lord has blessed us with in the Word and praying and just looking at it. And we're going to take just a little different avenue. It might be just a bit of a teaching this morning, and but we're going to do that. And mind the Lord, amen? A lot of different subjects, a lot of different things that we could touch on. And we have been on a series at home on Joshua and these different things, but we're going to go back into this, and we pray this will be an edification to the church here in West Palm here this morning. God bless you. Nehemiah chapter 10 and verse 28. Nehemiah 10, verse 28. And the rest of the people, the priest, the Levites, the porters, the singers, the Nethinims, and all they that had separated themselves from the people of the lands unto. Now notice, they just didn't separate, but they separated unto something. It's one thing to separate, but you got to go to something. And they all separated themselves from the people of the lands unto the word of God, the law of God. Their wives, their sons, their daughters, everyone having knowledge and having understanding, they clave to their brethren, their nobles, and entered into a curse and into an oath to walk in God's laws, which was given by Moses, the servant of God, and to observe and to do all the commandments of the Lord our God and his judgments and his statutes. These people, once the word was restored to them and their temple was restored to them, they felt it wasn't good enough. They wanted to enter an oath together. They wanted to separate from the peoples of the land, and they wanted to cleave to one another and cleave to their wives. You notice the relationship that is involved here. It's not just that we separate from the world or separate from other people, but we must cleave to something. That's in the marriage covenant that God gave. A man shall leave father and mother, but he needs to cleave unto his wife. Here they clave to their brethren, they clave to one another, and they clave to the word of God. Very important as we see the people of God doing that. Now, in the New Testament, we want to go to Ephesians and see the same theme that Paul is bringing in here in Ephesians chapter 4 under the Holy Ghost church. And here in Ephesians 4 and verse 15, but speaking the truth in love, Ephesians 4, 15. Speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. Now, saints of God, I know it's not difficult to see that Paul says here that Christ is the head, but there's a body to the head. And that body is joined together, and every joint supplieth. I don't see anything there of individualism that someone separates himself. If you're a Holy Ghost body member, you are joined together with the body. By spirit, can you say amen? Amen. There is no man on an island doing his own thing. Amen. If you got the Holy Ghost, you're joined together. Whether you get along all the time with the person next to you, it's not a personality thing. It is something that is birthed by spirit, that every joint supplieth when it is joined together. And working in the measure of every part maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself. It doesn't even say that God does it. We know God does it, but it's edifying itself as it's joined together. It's building up itself. Yeah. We don't need to necessarily have someone come from the outside and build it up. The body's edifying itself. Amen. Amen. I think those are powerful words. Heavenly Father, bless your word, Lord, as we just submit ourselves to the word that you dropped in our heart last night. We know this might be a little bit more of a teaching. We don't know which direction it'll go. But we know that your presence is here. We know that we felt your presence. We know the song the sister sang ministered to us in such a great way, Lord. And we give you glory today through the songs of Zion. We give you glory. Speak to your people. Bless the pastor while he's away. Him and Brother Smiley, just be with them, Lord. Anoint them. And I pray you'll bless this church. Bless the future of this church. Fill every one of these seats and more with hungry souls, I pray, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we commit this service to you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Now, we're going to share some things here. And some of the things are, I will make assumptions that you have studied the book of Nehemiah And there's so much in there about the people that had come to a restoration of the temple. And that is a type of the bride because we've come to a restoration to the word. So I'm going to make assumptions that you understand where we're jumping into the scripture. I don't need to qualify that too much. But we see that Nehemiah's people and the people under Nehemiah was a people that was under the restored word and the restored temple of God. And they had, there's many great places in there where the book was restored to them. It was open to them. They were the people of the open book. The word was open. And their response to the word was very special after some hundreds of years of rebellion. And the reason the temple was destroyed and the reason the people were destroyed and went into captivity is because of the rebellion and getting away from the word. Once these people realized that God supernaturally had restored them, brought them back to Jerusalem, gave them the power, even by authorities, to rebuild their temple, they could only stand back and say, God is in this. God wants to restore our temple. And so there was a respect. There was an honor. There was a soberness in the people that we never want to do this again. We want to hear. One place it says in Nehemiah that the people listen intently to the word of God. No more playing games. I want to know what this word says. It's because when we got away from this word, our children got away from this word, that's when everything fell apart. And when they heard the word, they said, the people listen. And I counted up the hours one time because they read all through the Moses' writings and all through the prophet's message. It was some 4 or 5 and 6 hours they read it as the people listened intently, the children all. That's an amazing thing. But they were so sober to the fact that I've got to hear. And not only hear, the Bible says they wanted the priest to explain it so they understood the word. Not just hear it, but understand it. I tell you, under this open book with the 7 seals taken off of this book, it's not just some book on a shelf somewhere, but it's the revelation that God gives. It's the understanding of where we are. We're not living at a time where we just read our Bibles just like a Baptist, and I'm not knocking that, but we're praying, God, reveal this book to me. Lack of revelation is how we get in trouble. So the people of Nehemiah were the word restored to them. But there's just something further as we move into the end of Nehemiah. We found, let me jump quickly to it. What my subject is today. There's something further that is essential that we look at. And that is that we found that hundreds of people, if not thousands, found their individual places and begin to work in harmony after the temple was built. They begin to work in harmony together for the house of God. And the reason they were working for the house of God is that's the place where the word was brought forth, and that's the place his glory came down. And so now we have people mentioned that had offices in the church of singers and porters and priests and nithinims. And if you're saying, what in the world is nithinims? Well, I'm going to tell you in a few minutes. Nithinims and all these different ones that just begin to work around the house of God and begin to give their all. And most of all, they begin to work together in harmony. You find priests and Levites and porters and singers and all these that found their place, but they said they worked in harmony together for the house of God. It wasn't just they had positions, but they were working in harmony. Amen. And I want to preach a little bit about working in coordination together. When Paul speaks about it, he speaks about different gifts in the church. And he says in 1 Corinthians 12:28, he says, and God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets. I want you to notice here how he breaks some of these things down. And then as the nithinims are mentioned in the Old Testament, the porters, which you may not know what those are, but those aren't the singers or the upfront people. The porters sometimes worked in janitorial work. The porters worked and assisted the priest in different things. The nithinims were helpers and workers that worked and just did about everything and anything in between that needed to be done. I have a lot of nithinims in my church. If I didn't have them, I couldn't have a ministry. Amen. Just as important as the priests. Porters and nithinims. And so, but Paul words it this way, and God has set some in the church. Notice God has set them in the church.
Amen.
You don't set them in the church. You don't take them out. God sets them in the church. When the Holy Ghost is leading the church, he'll find those and place them. Sometimes before they even get an official position, they're already working in that because they've kind of found their place naturally by the Holy Ghost. You know, this isn't a mechanical thing. This isn't a political thing. God's church isn't run by politics, can you say amen? Or governments or something like that. It should be ran by the Holy Ghost under the headship of the pastor, can you say amen? Exactly, amen. So he says, God has set some in the church. First apostles, secondary prophets, thirdly teachers. After that, miracles. Then gifts of healing, helps. Just when he says helps, it just kind of seems like it lost its fervor to it, you know. We got apostles and prophets. Glory be to God. Helps. Just kind of falls off. Helps. It's probably what they thought in Nehemiah's day when he said nithinims. Gifts of healing, teachers, miracles, gifts of healing, governments, diversities of tongues. Helps. I love it when my dad used to teach on this, you know. Just the little word helps is just placed right in there. But it's placed in there by God. And none of them are more important than the other. Just helps. No big names. They didn't bring the house down with a special singing it. But the church needs helps. Any of you ever remember when Jesus prayed that the Lord of the harvest, he said, pray the Lord of harvest. There's a great harvest going on. And pray the Lord of harvest sends preachers? No. Prophets? No. Laborers. Amen. In his vineyard.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So don't take the helps out. It's just as important as the rest. I believe we're going to learn something here this morning.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Amen.
So now in this day of Nehemiah, thousands came to worship, but there were others who helped around the house of God with a goal in mind. They had a goal in mind. Now, you can have a lot of helpers, and you can have a lot of positions, and you can have people doing a lot of stuff, but everybody has to have the same goal. Everybody has to have the reason why. Else it becomes churchianity. It becomes some building up of a pride of a position. You have to have the same humble goal as everyone in that assembly. And where did they find their goal? They found it when they read through the scripture and read back in the first dedication of the temple, when everything was in order, when the 120 trumpeters were there, all the musicians was in place, Solomon was in place, the sacrifices were there, everything was in order, the temple was built, and the children and all of them were reading that when Solomon come and they brought the sacrifice and they entered the temple, the glory of the Lord came down. And it was so powerful, such a thing that come in that place, the minister couldn't even stand to preach because he come on the scene. God come down and says, this has my approval. I see the harmony. I see people working together. I see the humility. I see there's one goal. And when God's seen that, he says, I'm coming down. I'm filling this place with my glory. And when that's the goal, you see, people come to church with all different type of things on their mind. People come to church, and that's the problem. We're not in one mind and one accord, but we got to get one goal. And it's not about you being glorified. It's not about your gift being seen. We haven't had church unless he comes in the scene. So when you have the goal and you can look back and see the little boy saying, these boys in the front row here, that's what happened, Daddy. That's what took place, that the glory of God filled that temple.
Yes.
They did all that work. They built the bricks. They put it in place. They had the porters. They had the singers. They labored for years to get that temple done. But Daddy, God came down.
Yeah.
The glory of the Lord. We just had a service a couple weeks ago, and I want to say something about it because I'll give glory to the Lord. I come to the end of the service, and God just stopped me at the service, just stopped. And I had been reading the night before. It really wasn't related completely with my subject, but I said, I got to say this. I said, did you know that Brother Branham, service after service, all through the cities he visited, he said he would look and see, and he would say, sometimes he would say, he said, there's a blackness, there's a darkness over the congregation, because there were skeptics there. Skeptics. And actually, skeptics hurt the atmosphere. But then if you'll notice, even in the film Deep Call to the Deep, that's one place he mentioned this. He says, oh, he says, this place is becoming milky. He said, I can hardly make out anything. I can't see anything. He says, you're really beginning to believe now. Amen. Everybody's beginning to believe, and the place is milky. And he says, hold on here. He says, anything could happen. He said it about 80 times. He said that milky thing came in the room. And what it was, it simply was that there was some big thing. No, the people begin to believe and trust. Do you believe me to be God's prophet? If you come a skeptic, you're going to find things wrong. But do you believe me to be God's prophet? Do you believe? He had to get the people to believe. And it was just simply that. It was just lay down your skepticism and just believe it. And when they seen this, and he kept people going, and there was enough miracles, some people were doubting Thomas. But he went to cities, friends, where that milky spirit didn't come in. No, he went, and he says, some cities, he said, I don't know if I'll ever be back there because of the people's unbelief. Why is he saying, I'm wasting my time? If you're going to sit there as a skeptic your whole life, we're not going to see it. You're wasting time at church. Amen. If God doesn't come down.
Amen.
I got to the end of that, and I just shared it real quickly. And I says, what would happen if you would trust me as a minister this morning? Amen. See, that's the problem today. We have a lot of lack of trust. Amen. Nobody trusts anybody, and that's why people's hearts are locked up. Yeah. I'll go to church, but I've got my wall up. That's the problem. You got to trust somebody. You got to trust somebody. Satan has destroyed your trust. But you got to trust the man of God. You got to trust that there's true ministers. You can talk to me all day about false ministers and ones who fell in sin and a false doctrine. I can talk all day. I got a number, 100 of them to tell you about. But if there's a false, there's a real servant of God. If there's a false dollar, there's a true dollar. We got to trust. And I said to the congregation, how many will trust me right now? How many trust me that I've preached the truth to you? And they begin to raise their hands. I said, how many needs healing? Got a brother with cancer in the church. Got a couple others that I didn't even know what they had. How many? Brother Bram says, raise your hand right now because that spirit is here. If you'll raise your hand right now, he pointed to a lady in a wheelchair. He says, if you get out of that wheelchair right now, I believe you can come up. And there was mass healings all over the congregation. Well, my people begin to lift their hands. People healed of cancer. People healed of disease. People healed of all kinds of things in a moment's time. Had a sister with a growth here on, what was that, on a thyroid on her neck. She had it for years. And so in that service in the morning, she claimed her healing. It wasn't until communion that night. She was praying and worshiping the Lord. She reached up and she didn't feel anything. It was gone. It was gone. This has nothing to do with building up my church or anything like that, friends. It's that if you believe and you trust, just simple, you don't have to do anything. You don't have to be just a perfect, can you say, amen? Just begin to believe.
Amen. Yes. Amen. Thank you.
Amen. So many skeptics. So many people with their walls up. No wonder we can't get any further. They seen the glory of God come down in Solomon's day. Glory of God came down. Any other reason for church that is lifted above that is a flawed reason. Any other reason for having church than him coming down is flawed. They found their place. They found their jobs. They found their positions. They found relationship and connection to one another. Pointed to a certain job around the house of God. All the jobs were related to creating an atmosphere in the house of God. Just lost a man. Been with me about 23 years, just passed away. And that brother, some of this stuff I didn't expect to say today, but it's just so dear to my heart right now. I always told him, Brother Gary, I said, I couldn't do what I do freely without you and what you do in the church. You know what he did? He went through the pews and cleaned the church after every service, and he locked it up for me. I told him 20 years ago, I said, I need somebody to lock up because I'm tired. Nobody else will lock up. He says, I'll do it for you. 20-some years, he went through, cleaned up the church afterwards. and locked the door for 27 years. I said, brother, you contributed to my ministry. And when we receive rewards on the other side, now I got to go meet him. He's already there.
Amen.
I said, you'll stand with me in the ministry he had this area. It isn't just the preachers. Can you say amen? It's who made that ministry run smoother. It's who help. Who's the helps? Who's the one that's saying, we just want to see the glory of God come down.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. So they found their place. And they recognized what they were there for. The biggest part of it is they worked together in this effort with one key that I want to talk about this morning. And Brother Bram talks about it quite often. Romans 12, Paul talks about it. I'll read the scripture first on it, where he says, Paul, Romans 12 and verse 3, for I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think himself of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. If you're thinking more highly of yourself than you ought to be thinking, you're not thinking soberly as a Christian. Think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man in the measure of faith. For as we have mercy, have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy, dissimulation. Let your love be without hypocrisy. Let your love for one another be real. I said, let your love for one another be real. Not put on, not fake, not I've got to love you because you're sitting beside me. Let your love be real. Let it be purged of hypocrisy. Let your love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Starts the verses with humility. Let no man think. The only way for gifts to work, the only way for the church to work with God in charge, is humility. Let no man think more highly of himself than he ought to think.
Amen.
Amen.
I might as well go ahead and say it, that with this subject this morning, I've been so disturbed lately, I've been disturbed for years, but so much lately, that there are so many know-it-alls in the body of Christ. Young couples tend to think they know it all about raising children. You know how I know that? Because I was that way. I was raised in a great family. My dad and mom were the best families you could be raised in. I'm proud of that. So I guess that brought pride that I could raise kids. Found out a few years later and finding out now. Listen, there's no guarantee of this stuff. It's trusting the Lord. There's no perfect parent. Can you say amen? But when we're young, we don't need to ask the older ones because we know it all.
Amen.
You can't tell young couples, give them advice, because you can't give anybody advice today because they already know everything. They Googled it, and now they're a professor in every subject because they're on the internet every day. Praise the Lord, brothers and sisters. You can't get on me about this. I'm on vacation. They know everything already. And then you get to 54, and as you get older, you realize you really don't know anything. I didn't know what I was doing, and I made some damage to my kids. I've had to make some of that right because I didn't. Paula Fontaine, I didn't do it all right. I made some damaging things to them because, you know why I did it? Because I thought I knew I was doing right. Everybody's a know-it-all today. Everybody's a Google knowledge, and they've got it all. They don't have to get a degree because they've read up enough on the internet. They're an expert on the COVID. They're an expert on all the subjects. Am I supposed to be wearing a mask right now, or am I okay yet? I didn't even ask if that was the rule. I'm hot enough. Please don't make me wear a mask. I'll stay distant from you so don't spit on you out there. Hey, I've already had the thing, man. I'm done with it. Been there, done that, got the t-shirt.
Amen.
Yeah. Know-it-alls. I got to get off this because I got a lot here. But listen, listen, we're missing humility in the body.
Amen. Amen.
And when you got the body with gifts working, even gifts working, right. But you got that thing of everybody's thinking more highly of themselves than they ought to think. Right. They're the authority on the matter. When there's no humility, it's not going to work effective.
Amen.
Can't work together effectively with it. And an honor, brotherly love, preferring one another. Now, when Brother Bram talks about it in a little message called Humble Thyself, which is just a little bit after the seals that he preached, and incidentally, he preached in Humble Thyself, he refers to the third pole and refers to what it would begin to do, and it's just a little message, wasn't even a sermon. He just got up and talked a little bit about humility after another minister spoke. Uh-huh. But it's powerful what he says. I'm going to read a little bit from it. And one of the spots in that message, he says, I was thinking here of that little illustration to back to what he said, the other minister had mentioned. Now, we look at this watch and find out what time it is, unless that every instrument in that watch is coordinating right. One with the other, we'll never know the correct time.
Yeah. Right.
Is that right? And that takes all of us together. If we want to see the third pole really do something for God, it's coordination with every one of us together. To humble ourselves before God and confess our wrongs and pray and believe God for these things. And you all have been taught right. You know, in 1963 when the seals were opened, the third pole, not the first and second, but now we come into the phase of the third pole. That thing was launched. That thing began, but it was only in its early stages of the opening of the word. What it would do in the people was still to come. And so now, as it said, he begins to talk about it, and he's talking about humble thyself. If we really want to see the third pole do something among us, yeah. We work in coordination
right.
Together.
Right. Amen.
Like the watch. Mm-hmm. And he elaborates on this. It says every coordinating part inside has to be working. So he points us to something. To me, it's very wonderful. In this season of the third pole being opened up, for those of you who don't know, the third pole is the three parts of the ministry of the last days, three parts of Jesus' ministry. You've been taught, those that are here, but if you're a visitor, there were three main parts of Jesus' ministry. The first pole, the healings. The second pole, discerning the people's hearts, like the woman at the well. And the third pole, when he began to open the word to his disciples. We've had that same transition in the last days. We come to the final part. It's no public show, but yet it's here. The third pole is here. It arrived at the opening of the word, just like in Nehemiah's day. But you see now, they come to the opening of the word. But see now, it arrived, but we're looking for it to do something. It points us to working together in humility, confession, prayer, simple belief. All the elements are there, but the body must be working together. The potentials of the third pole are not in a book or in a tape or in a church building or in the Bible. It's here. It needs us working together to see it manifest more in our midst. It is in the body now. It's the Holy Spirit in us. The body, and it's important. Don't distance yourself away from the body of Christ. You know, people are doing that at the worst time they could do it. We're almost there. People leaving this message now. We're at the climax. This is it, man. This is the wrap up. What are you doing? If you're listening on the internet, what are you doing? Wake up, because this is the hour. This is the time. 50, 60 years after this open word came to us, and now this bride is coming to a place we're going to see the final vindication of this thing. Hallelujah. Don't distance yourself away. So when he refers to a watch, then we realize that, you know, I read up a little bit on this. There's like 100 in a Swiss watch, which is a pretty expensive watch. There's about 130 to 150 moving and non-moving parts to a Swiss watch. In a Rolex watch, which I don't know if anybody has one here today. I certainly don't have one. Very expensive watch. Rolex, one of my friends has one. And so that's why I stay his friend. Maybe he'll hand it down to me.
Amen.
A Rolex has 175. Now imagine this little watch, 175 to 200 working and non-working parts. You wonder why Brother Branham referred to this, because it's just this little thing. And yet so many moving and unmoving parts in it. And if they didn't work in coordination connected together, we couldn't tell the time. What a great what a great word picture the prophet gave us. Just small. Can you say, man? My wife bought me a watch here. I don't know, 20 years ago, I guess, and it was a Bolivin watch, and it was $300. I thought it was the richest man in the world. She bought me that watch. I wanted a nice gold watch, and a beautiful watch, Bolivin. So I was down here on one of my vacations, and I was driving down in between West Palm here and Miami. And there was this little watch place that had signs on the door. I said, you know what? I'd like to upgrade to something different. And I could bring this in and I could, you know, let me just say this before I tell this little story. Anybody ever walked into a place and you realize after a few minutes you didn't belong in there? Sister Ellen, a few honest people. You thought you were something and then you walked into this place and said, you ain't nothing. You ain't got squat. I thought I was big time with a $300 watch. And I said, I'm going to go in and they're going to be so happy. And I'm going to trade this thing and upgrade to something nicer. And so I walked through the store. I said, that's nice. I did notice the prices were a bit high, but I had a $300 watch. I had a good trade in, you know. Mm-hmm. And so finally I get it, says, I got this watch. If you want to look at it, it's a Bolivon. She goes, what is it?
Oh my God.
What brand is that? I said, I'd like to trade it in and maybe get something nicer. And I bought it for $300, you know, 20 years ago, and maybe I could do something. And she said, sir, our used watches traded. Our used watches start at $15,000. Start.
Praise the Lord.
I said, have a good day, ma'am. And I walked back. I was driving a rental car that was a convertible, but it didn't do any good. She didn't look at that at all. But some of these expensive watches, friends, it's the unseen parts. All of those parts, besides the what's on the front, what do they call them?
The hands.
The hands. Every other part is invisible. I'm telling you, in a local body, what happens behind the scenes and what happens in prayer is what's really happening.
That's right. Amen.
And the reason that our sister could come and sing this morning and be such a blessing, be anointed and all this, that wouldn't happen even unless some other parts had been taking place in praying and getting their hearts ready for that to take place. It all works in coordination together. And if the devil is setting you sitting there this morning that you're not a part, the devil is talking to you, and you need to quit having your wall up, and you need to say, what can I do for the kingdom of God? Where is my place in his kingdom? Because there's no big eyes or little U's. There's no one with great positions, can you say, man? You are important. You are a part of the body of Christ. And we can grow and we can see more lives change. We can see our numbers grow. We can see all these things and the glory of God, most of all, coming down. See, when that happens, friends, if a visitor comes in, that does all the explaining. Can you say, man? That's the thing that speaks to people. That's the thing that will make some people come back. Can you say praise the Lord? Oh my, working together in coordination. And God, he goes on to say, God can only operate as we let him operate. You know, people want power and really, they really don't know what power is. They really don't know what goes with the power. The way up is down, always. If you want power, see how humble you can get. Just get away from your worldly thinking. Humble yourself before God. And then you've got more power than the man that runs all over the building and makes a lot of big noise. See, because you've been able to conquer yourself and commit yourself to Christ. You see, to humble yourself before him, that's really power. You show me a church that's humble, real humble, and not arrogant. A church, just sweet, humble church. I'll show you a church that has the favor and the power of God in it. That's right. That's the thing it takes, humility, humbling ourselves before God, letting God just work through us. Don't have to make a lot of noise. Sometimes, as the farmer said, he went out to the field with his wagon, and every time he hit a bump, it rattled. rattled and went on. But when he come back, he hit the same bump and didn't make no noise at all because it was loaded with good things. So I think that's just about right, that we get filled up with good things of God, that the fruit of the Spirit might be known through us. As he referred so much to the first things, have not charity, it's nothing, it profiteth me nothing. And you've got to look this out and come sweet before the Lord. And I've always found that a man that humbles himself is the man that God exalts. When you take a person with his chest out and knows everything, amen, and you can't tell him nothing,
amen,
and he is arrogant. See, you're talking about people out there. No, I'm talking about in message churches. I've got some of them in my church. You can't tell them nothing. I don't even know why they come. Because they get their hide taken off about every service, and they keep coming. They're not yielding. They're not surrendering. And you couldn't ever personally counsel them or correct them and exhort them. As the Bible said we should be able to do, exhort one another is a slight rebuke. But you don't dare do that today. Oh, boy, I'm on a subject. I better watch what I'm saying. People need to read their Bibles how the body works. But we still got our wall up. We don't dare go and correct somebody today. It's the culture that we live in. Let me be me and nobody says nothing to me. That's not the body of Christ. You can say amen, but just remember when somebody comes to you to say something to you. That's when you feel it a little bit. You know, my wife always says this, that submission, and we're counseling sisters and couples and things, and submission comes in actually when you disagree with what the head is going to do. It's not really submission when you agree with it. Oh, boy. Oh, man, I tell you, there's the is that a back door right there so I can get out of here? It's not a, thank you for telling me. It's a closet, and I'd be caught in that closet. People don't, we're in a culture. Watch the young people coming up. Study the generations, Generation X, Generation Y. Study the employers that are having trouble, because you can't tell those employees nothing. That does not work in the house of God. We need submission, pure submission, the right kind. We don't need dictatorship, and we don't need rebellion. We don't need the Nicolaitan spirit, and we don't need the Jezebel spirit. Did you notice both of those things are brought out in the church ages? A Nicolaitan spirit and a Jezebel spirit. The Nicolaitan is when the headship gets out of order and dictates to the people without the Holy Ghost. The Jezebel spirit is he won't submit. We want to purge that out of our midst. No need to be that way. Can you say amen? So this watch is what we're looking at and humbling ourselves. And he says, we must, that's right, every piece of this watch, church, must be together and you must keep your part of it so we see what time we're living in. We may be closer than we think. It's all about humility. Working in coordination together in true humility is the key. I won't be much longer. I want to jump to a part here in a minute. So we must work together. Besides the world falling apart, we have an enemy working overtime, attacking the message, attacking the people who believe it, right, making people think that it's these people that we withdraw from and not worldly people. That's the message. It's preachers and it's people are the problem. The Satan is making people's eyes that the message is the problem. The people and the message are the problem. You young people, listen to me. The voices of the enemy are on the internet every day to teach you that the real problem must be the message or the people of the message. And I'm here to say that's the biggest, one of the biggest lies Satan can tell you. God sent a message through a prophet and got people believing it. I don't care if you think they're weak or whatever they are. There's Holy Ghost-filled people there. And if you turn to chum and hang out with worldly people and hang out with everybody else and shun the real people of God, you're going to pay for that.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
You take some of our groups and some of the people, you take us at our very worst. I'd rather have my kids hanging around a church like this. than some of the atmospheres out there.
Amen.
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 You take the very worst of things that happen in the church. Things happen. People in sin, or people treat one another wrong. People come up, walk up, and give you the elevator look, looking you over. Looking at everything you're wearing.
Come on, Holy Ghost. Come on, Holy Ghost.
Judge you by that first.
Hallelujah.
Happens all the time. Can you say amen?
Yeah.
But I'm telling the young people, don't you let Satan talk to you with that, because you might have the elevator look at Walmart.
That's right.
You might get more at Walmart because of the way you look.
That's right.
Bunch of hypocrites at that message church. Message, message, message. And the devil gives the message a bad name. Bunch of hypocrites there. There's hypocrites at Walmart.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Right. Amen.
You take the very worst. I told parents, I said, our youth group, we got a youth group for some 28 years. Every Friday night we met with youth. Me and my wife had them. We want to give them a place to go. Shared the word with them. We had a good time. Had some fun. Every Friday night for some 20 years. Now some other brothers take care of it for me. Give the youth a place to go. I had a couple of parents say, I mean, I don't know what your teachers are teaching and stuff like that. And then let them go. Let them go be with a bunch of other youth groups. I said, I set this youth group above any of that. I trust it above any of it, as opposed to being out there. Take us at our very worst. I still think it's a good atmosphere to have your family in. I'm talking about working together.
Thank you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Humility says, I'll go the way of the cross, dying to myself for the sake of Christ and for the sake of the whole body. Humility says, I'm no better than anyone here. Humility says, I put my prayers and my gifts in with the rest. Mine is no better. I'm no better. And if someone excels in their gift beyond me, God makes a gift more visible than mine, then when I praise the Lord for that.
Amen.
And I pray for that, that it would be excelled even more.
Amen.
Humility before God and one another is the true prerequisite to his glory coming down. I believe that with all my heart. He says in Philippians 2, if there be any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, Philippians 2 verse 1, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye might be like-minded, having the same love, being one accord, one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Look not everyone on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself. Christ humbled himself.
Amen.
And we don't have to. Christ humbled himself. Not robbery to be equal with God. And yet he humbled himself as a servant. He made himself of no reputation. That's why you find Jesus saying, don't tell any man about this. Don't tell man. You got healed. Don't tell him about this. That doesn't sound like a lot of radio preachers. They blast it around the world if they have a healing. Jesus said, don't tell anybody about it. Why? Because Jesus wasn't trying to do his marketing to build up his gift. We got a great gift here. We got to do some more marketing. We got to get it built around the world. That's not the body of Christ. Just do what you do. Worship the Lord. Serve the Lord. And he'll build it up the way that he wants to. He'll fill these seats with people that are hungry. He'll give you a new building. Just work together in communication and coordination and love among one another. You watch something come out of that. Humble yourself. Can you say amen? He made himself of no reputation. Somebody saying the other day, you need to do this promotion. You need to promote this. You need to promote that. I said, no, I want to be less known. I don't want to be more known. I want my name to be less known. I just want to write my little songs and preach the gospel. I don't need my name on any kind of lights. I'm going Jesus' path here.
Amen.
He intentionally made himself of no reputation.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. So many things. Christ humbled himself to the cross, the way of the cross, unselfishness. It's all about others before himself. You get that. You understand that. Can you say amen?
Amen.
I'm skipping way down here so I can find this spot that I want to close. Working together, the priests, the Levites, the porters, the singers, all through themselves into the temple, threw themselves into it to see God's glory come down. No one was more important than the other. All were needed. The Nethinims. Nethinims means the given ones. Nethinims mean the given ones. The Nethinims were set up by David and Ezra. As, if you want the reference, Ezra chapter 20 and verse 8, David set up the Nethinims as a position actually. And they needed them around the temple. They needed them around as helpers. The Levites, they were service to the Levites. They were assisting the Levites in their job that they did, doing the in-between stuff so the Levites could do their job. You got some brothers and sisters here this morning doing that. The pastor can be gone, and this thing's functioning, and the Holy Spirit's coming down. It's assisting this minister in his vision of what he does. God will bless you for that. For years, my wife and I, I don't know if she's watching the grandbaby now, but my wife and I, we were the janitor, and we set up the chairs, and we did it all, and then we did the youth meetings, and we did this and that, and just getting to the spot now that I have to work on letting stuff go and let other brothers and sisters just do it. I have an assistant now. It's just such a wonderful assistant pastor, and just taking things off of me. I'm finally going to get to that place that I can just write songs and study for sermons and enjoy my granddaughter. I'm almost there. That's all I want to do, friends. I don't want to go around the world. I don't want to preach conventions. I just want to write songs, preach anointed messages, visit West Palm a couple times a year, maybe even get a home down here. Take that off of the internet. You got to cut that part out. Get a home down here. Get a membership in this church. This church. And spend time with my granddaughter. You know how I'm getting to that place after 33 years pastoring? You know I'm getting to that place? Because God has supplied Nethinims, helpers, servants. Hallelujah. So when Paul gets into this, I want you to turn here, and I promise we'll close on this. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. When Paul gets into this subject of the body, or in the subject of the Holy Ghost and how it's working through gifts, because we know 1 Corinthians, he deals with the gifts, talks a lot about it, the diversities of gifts. And so when he's talking about gifts, and I imagine your pastor's taught on this, on the gifts and your evening of tarrying for the Lord. When he speaks about it, then he goes into this word picture of a natural body, okay? He feels to use a word picture of the natural body and how that works together and how some points about the body. He picks it up in verse 12 where he says, "As the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink of one spirit. For the body is one member, but many." Excuse me, the body's not one member, but many. "If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is therefore not of the body? If the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole body were hearing, where were the smelling? But now God hath set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him." I like, God has said.
Amen.
So my dad used to say, he might even said it here in your church, I don't know, he says, "So you didn't put me in, and you can't kick me out." God has set some members in the body, and some of them, you're wondering, why did God set them in the body. Well, that ain't none of your business.
Amen. Amen.
I don't know why God set them in the body. I never understand that. Maybe they're thinking the same thing about you.
Amen.
Why'd God set you in this body?
Yeah.
And if the foot shall say, excuse me, if the whole, but now God has set some members. So, you know these scriptures, okay? So here, Paul brings up the word picture of a body, and that we should never be saying, I have no need of you.
Right.
And the reason he's saying that, the reason Paul's preaching this about a body is because it's pretty stupid to think that one of your natural body members could say that. It's impossible.
Right.
One of your natural bodies, like your hand, couldn't say to another, I don't need you, because we need everything here. There's a couple parts they take out that you can get by without. But most of it needs the body. Can you say amen? And so this whole thing, where does this whole idea, I have no need of you? It's stupid that the body could think that, but if it's true of the natural body, it has to be true of this body of Christ. You can never have the pride to say to anyone, I have no need of you. You actually should be saying in humility, I have need of you. I need you. Some people today, they come to church and they don't need anybody at church. They don't need anybody there. They need to hear their sermon and go home. I don't need it. I just need my family, my family, my family. Well, some of your family may fail you too someday. I don't need anybody at that church. I just need my family. My mama, my papa, my uncle. I just need them. And you know, people today are clinging to family, even unsaved family. They cling to them because it's emotional. It's family. But they won't give their heart to the church. They won't give their heart to the body of Christ. I'm saying you're setting yourself up for failure. There's nothing against family. Family's family. I understand that. But don't you ever set them above the body of Christ. You are royalty. This is the family of God. This is your true family. Is anybody getting something out of this morning? Are you listening to me? Do you trust me? This will help you if you just believe me and trust me and believe it. This will help this church. It'll help you individually to come out of your shell, to come out of your walls you got up. We tend to default to our family members and mommy and daddy and default because in this age, we don't trust anybody. We don't trust the church. We don't trust the people of the church. So the family is the only one we can really trust. Don't be so sure. They could turn on you just like that. But I love them anyway because they're family. How come you don't do that with the body of Christ?
Amen.
So Paul says this because what he's dealing with is, I have no need of you. Because some carnal person back then in the body of Christ would actually say something like that or show the actions, I have no need of you. Paul must be saying it for a reason. It must have been people who had that attitude. I don't need you. I like Paul's preaching. I'll come to this message church, but I don't need you. I don't need you. I only need me. Somebody must have been saying that. I just want to come to a church. I've had him say to me, I've been through so much. I just want to come to a church, but I don't need anybody in that church. I just want to come. Will you let me come, Brother Paul? And I usually say, yeah, just come. Let the presence of the Lord do something for you. But I'm always thinking in my mind, how can you accept the Lord and not accept where the Lord's living right now? Your hurts and pains are so bad that you're blocking out one of the most important things that could be a benefit to your healing. Oh, friends. Say, I just want my healing from the Lord. Well, the Lord is in the body.
Amen.
Two Sundays ago, a sister, she had migraine headaches for about a week, constant. And in that same service, that same communion service, she said, sister, would you lay hands on her? Sister lay hands on her. She never had a migraine since. Just a sister in the church, she didn't even say her name. She laid her hands on that sister. Migraines were gone. So I'm making the point. Say, I need the Lord, but I don't need anybody. The Lord's in his people. You know, the reason that Paul brought this up is because there's two complexes. How many believe you need one another?
Yes.
Yes, you do. You may say you don't need anybody, but you need the body of Christ. Amen. You'd be best to form your friendships more out of the body of Christ than anywhere else.
Amen.
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 We need one another. You know, anybody got been married a long time and you realize you start to need one another more and more? 54 years old, you know, you finish each other's sentences. Your mind goes and you don't have a clue what to finish the sentence, and your wife finishes it for you.
Yeah.
Sometimes we don't want to admit it, but we need each other. We were in Georgia for a convention, Daniel Gissenanders, last September. We got this motel. We're getting ready for church. We come in early, getting ready for church. There's two motels beside one another. And we were in the room 340. We got set up in the room. I wanted to study. She went to get something to eat across the street, and she's going to bring it back to her. She brings it back, but she comes back, and she calls me from room 340. She says, "Where are you at?" "I'm in the room." I said, "No, hon, I'm in the room. I'm in 340. She says, "No, you're not. I'm in 340. I said, "Huh? I can tell you right now, I'm looking at the phone in the door, and it says 340. The same room we checked in with my luggage in front of me." And she starts to look around this room. It's 340, but there ain't no luggage in it. And she had walked to the remote. I'm glad she's in the nursery right now. She had walked from that restaurant, not even, and went into the other motel. Walked upstairs, and that room happened to be open. Walked into 340 in the other motel completely. And that's why I said, "Honey, you need me, don't you? You're getting to place in life. You need me in life. It's not just that I need you. You need me, honey. Sweetie pie. We're getting to place we need each other. You'd be lost without me over there in that motel." I said, "Bring me my food over here. I'm over here in 340. Amen.
Amen.
Get rid of these lines that we don't need the body of Christ. We don't need that person in the body of Christ. If they're in the body, you need them.
Amen.
Every joint supplieth to one another and increases to the edification of the church. The reason that Paul talked about this is because there's two main complexes in people. And if I had another night, I would talk about complexes. Complexes. That's what happens to you is your complexes. And Paul is addressing deep hindrances in the church, and there's two main things. There's a group that might say that in complexes now, I'm not happy with me. I want to be you. That's one complex. That's an inferiority complex. I'm not happy with how God made me, so I want to be you. That's why Paul says the foot can't say to the hand, "I don't want to be the foot. I want to be the hand." That's an inferiority complex. You're not happy with what God gave you to do and how he made you. That's an inferiority complex. Complexes don't work in the body of Christ. But there's another one that Paul mentions, not an inferiority complex, but the second one that says, "I'm perfectly happy with me and I don't need you." If the foot shall say to the hand, "I have no need of you." So one of them is an inferiority complex. The next one is a superiority complex. And they're both just as bad. One says, "I'm totally happy with myself. I don't need nobody. I don't need anybody in my life, especially the body of Christ." And the other one says, "I'm not happy with myself. Never been happy with myself. I want to be everybody else. I don't want to be a lay member. I want to be the preacher. I want to be the deacon. Why can't I sing a special?" You better pray and find your place. You want to get up and sing every service, and the Lord may have you back there cleaning them toilets. I pray that he doesn't have you doing that, but you got to find out what God wants you to do. Praise the Lord. I did a study on this one time in complexes, and I feel like that's what Paul was talking about, the superiority complex that says, I am completely content with myself, and I don't need anybody else. And inferiority says, I'm not content with myself. I'm not settled with myself. And I want to be someone else. That's where you get the social media girls and guys copying what everybody else is doing, dressing superstars, sports stars. You haven't found your place in Christ yet because you got to be everybody else except what God made you. It's time to grow up in the Lord and find your place. This is who I am. This is what I do. This is my walk with Christ. I am confident in this. This is what God gave me to do. And once you get that confidence, you place that in the body. Say, use me, Lord. Can you say amen? You get in there and you say, Lord, if you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Take my hands, Lord, and my feet. Touch my heart, Lord, speak to me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Hallelujah. That was the cue for the piano player to come and the musicians. If you don't come, I'll keep preaching. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Let's stand together. Oh, if you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Take my hands, Lord, and my feet. Touch my heart, Lord, speak through me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Thank you, Jesus. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Oh, if you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Take my hands, Lord, and my feet. Touch my heart, Lord, speak through me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Yes, Lord, if you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Take my hands, Lord, and my feet. Touch my heart, Lord, speak through me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. One more time before we pray. Oh, if you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Hands, Lord, and my feet. Touch my heart, Lord, speak through me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. You want to get a different key there, a better key? Doesn't matter. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Oh, if you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Take my hands, Lord, and my feet. Touch my heart, Lord, speak through me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. this song. You're my brother, you're my sister, so take me by the hand. Together we can work until He comes. And there's no foe that can defeat us when we're walking side by side. Oh, as long as there is love, we will stand. Come on, sing it now. Oh, you're my brother, you're my sister, so take me by the hand. Oh, together we will work until He comes. And there's no foe that can defeat us when we're walking side by side. As long as there is love, we will stand. One more time before we pray. You're my brother, you're my sister, so take me by the hand. Take me by the hand. We will work until He comes. Till He comes. There's no foe that can defeat us when we're walking side by side by side by side. There is love, we will stand. Hallelujah. Now we're going to pray together as a body. We're going to lift up our voices and our faith together this morning. And if there's any enemy that stands in between us, we're just going to rush him out this morning. Say, God, give us a divine love for one another, Lord. Help us to work together in coordination, Father. God, if I need more humility in my life, Father, take out the pride out of mine. Let me not think that I'm better than somebody else. And you remember the goal that they did this for. It wasn't any a human goal. It was that His glory would come down like You did. Come down, Lord, like You did in the original temple, Lord. Fill this place with Your glory. How many like that, just that milky atmosphere to come in this place this morning? Hallelujah! We begin to believe. We begin to have love for one another. Getting rid of all the pretense and all the things that get between us. Forgive us, Lord, as we forgive others. Heavenly Father, we lift our voices, Lord. God, we believe that something in Your word here this morning has stirred our hearts up. God, that the relationships would be better, Lord. And Father, we see the people of Nehemiah as they clave. They separated themselves from the other people. And they clave to one another. They clave to their wives. They clave to their sons. They clave to the Word, Lord. And they clave to their brethren. God, help this church, Lord, to grow in grace and knowledge and the love of God. And they cleave to one another, Lord. Create such an atmosphere, Lord, that those would come in their midst, come under the power of God. Lord, they would just crumble in conviction in Your atmosphere. Lord, some get so cold-hearted they can't even recognize the presence of God when it's here. But Lord, there's souls that love You, want to come, Father. There's souls that need You. Forgive us, Lord, as we forgive others. We stand together, Lord, as one. We stand together with our pastor, Lord. Just pray, Lord Jesus, that You will blend our hearts together, wash us, homogenize us together, Lord, making us one with You. And one with one another, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We give You glory, Lord. Fill these temples with Your glory. Amen, amen. And let's sing it now. Amen. Oh, You're my brother, so take me by the hand. Well, together we will work. There's no foe that can defeat us when we're walking side by side. Oh, as long as there is love, we will stand. We'll stand. You're my brother. Oh, take me by the hand. Yeah. walking side by side by side by side. There is love, we will stand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Blessed Jesus. God, I pray you draw us together, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank God for his presence today. Thank God for this turning that we feel in the inside, connecting with the Word of God. Hallelujah. We'll work till Jesus comes. Brother Branham sang it. We'll work till Jesus comes. We'll work till Jesus comes. Burn in the midnight oil. You know that one, sister, before we turn back over. Burn in the midnight oil. Just give me a B flat, probably. No, babe, G, I think. Burning, burning, burning the midnight oil. With my lamp all trimmed and glowing, a vessel full of the Holy Ghost, I will shine the light through the night. To the word I must belong. There is a virgin bride burning the midnight oil. Amen. God bless you. Next year, I don't know you don't have the same song sometimes and don't know them. So I'll have the song leader come and dismiss. Praise the Lord. I think we have different keys in the north than you have down here too to sing them in. It's hard to get the right key. Praise the Lord. Our hearts are softened before him this morning. I believe God has met us this morning. We appreciate you all. God bless you. And it's a joy to be with you today, as we said. Thank you. I trust I didn't offend anybody. Being too open and honest, I feel at home here. And I'm sure if I said something wrong, I'm sure your pastor will correct me. And I would certainly take the correction from a man like that, for sure. In the body of Christ, but I appreciate you all. Love you very much. God bless you, brother. God bless you. Let's give God glory.
I need you. You need me. We're all a part of God's body. Stand with me. Agree. I need you.
wanted to. I won't harm you with words from my mouth. Oh, come on, let's sing it one more time together. I pray for you, you pray for me. I love, I need you to survive. I won't harm you with words from my mouth. I love, I need you to survive. It is His will that every need be supplied. You are important to me. I need you to survive. You are important to me. I need you to survive. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. We all want to make this thing move. So we got to keep moving. If we're all one part of that little time, that watch, we got to move. Brother Troy, if you're turning this way, I want to turn this way. Amen. So we can keep those knobs just turning. Amen. We're coming to the end of time, and we're getting ready to walk into eternity. Amen. So we're going to work until Jesus comes. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Just humble yourself in a second. Amen. Let's try that song. It's an a cappella song. It's called Humble Thyself in the Sight of the Lord. So, brothers, I'm going to give you the foundation part. Y'all got to be real smart to catch this, because the part you have in the song is the foundation part. So, you got to study this. So, your part, brothers, is humble that. No. I'm not as smart as y'all. I'm going to get it right. I forgot how it goes. Yeah, I just hit 50, so. Amen. No, the bass part. Not the humble thyself. No, the God's part. It just came to me, so I'm trying to get it. No, it's humble thy. No. Well, brothers, y'all just going to sing with a woman. Because I done lost it. Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord. Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord. And He will you up. And He will lift you up. Come on, let's sing it again. Say, humble thyself in the sight of the Lord.
Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord.
Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord. And He will lift you up. How sweet the sound. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. That saved a wretch like me. That saved a wretch like me. Oh, I once was lost, but now I'm found.
Once was lost, but now I'm found.
I once
once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. I was blind, but now I see.
Come on, humble thyself.
Oh, humble thyself in the sight of the Lord. Oh, humble thyself in the sight of the Lord. And he will lift you up. And he will lift you up. And he will lift you up. And he will lift you up.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's bow our hearts, Almighty God. Father, we know if we're going to get anywhere with you, it's through humility, Father. Lord, the way up is down. Lord, we must go down on our knees, Lord, realizing, Lord God, that we're nothing without you, but we can do all things through Christ Jesus, our Lord. It's you working in us, Lord. If we're anything, it's because of your grace, Lord. We were all wretched sinners, Lord, saved by grace, Lord God. There's nothing we could do for ourselves, Father. One brother couldn't redeem another, Lord. But you came and paid that price, Lord, that we needed so much. Father, we love you, Lord. We're so grateful that you would come amongst us today to speak to us, Lord God. Lord, I know you dealt with each and every heart here. Father, you dealt with me. And I'm so grateful, Lord God, that you would come down in this little space called time, being an eternal creature, Lord, creator, Lord God, to speak to me. Father, I need it so much, Lord. I want to take inventory every hour to make sure that I'm right before you, that there's nothing, Lord, between me and you but the blood of the Lord Jesus. Father, and my brothers, I know they feel the same. I know my sisters feel the same. I thank you for each one, Lord. There's not a time that I don't go to prayer without thinking of them, Lord God, and seeing, Lord God, as our pastor is away, how the service just moves, Lord, because of the Nephilims in our midst, Lord God. Father, each one is special in this body. Each one is precious in our eyes, Lord God. We realize how much we need one another, Lord God. I can't live without them, Lord God. If I get sick, I know who to call. Lord God, if I have a need, I know who to call. I know there's somebody that can break through to my God, Lord, to speak for me on my behalf. Should something happen to me and I'm in an accident, I'm unconscious, Lord, I know that the saints will be praying for me, Lord. They'll be interceding on my behalf, Lord. We need one another, Lord. Thank you for this precious people, Lord. Thank you for Brother Paul, Lord God. Thank you, Lord, for using your servant to speak to us, Lord God. Father, we're so grateful, Lord, and may our love that we feel for him, Lord, may it always come to his remembrance, Lord. Should he ever get down and out, Lord God, he'll know that there's a people in West Palm Beach that loves him and praying for him, both he and his family, Lord God. Father, as we prepare to leave this place but not your presence, Lord, give us all traveling mercies and grace. Be with our pastor and Brother Smiley as they return home to us, Lord Jesus. Give them traveling mercies, Lord, and keep, Lord, our brothers and sisters all over this world, Lord God. Father, we know that you fed them this morning, Lord. May we all rejoice as one body in your goodness and grace. We'll be careful to give you the praise, honor, and glory in all things, Lord, for you are God. It's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you, brothers and sisters. You may have your seats. Our brothers will come and dismiss you at this time. God bless you.